Isaiah chapter number 52. Before I forget, I was given a reminder that we have one more child on the blessing on the Christmas tree, their name on the Christmas tree. We have one child left, so if you're interested in helping the child out to have a better Christmas with gifts, and please help if you can. Also, if you've taken a name from that Christmas tree and you didn't fill out the slot that where your name goes, that you have that number, please do that as well. Isaiah chapter number 52. Wonderful book of Isaiah. Find my place here. Be reading verse number 13. Isaiah 52, verse number 13. Bible says, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astoned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told, them shall they see. And that they which had not heard shall consider." Father, tonight we want to thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the day, our health. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come and to fellowship with your people. And Lord, I pray for the next few moments we could uplift that name that is above every name. Father, your Savior, or our Savior and your Son, the one that gave his life so we could go free. We bless him and we exalt him. We honor him. We love you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah, I believe, is the prophet that we need to hear today in a dim and dark world. As Isaiah is giving out the message of God, I believe that you would agree with me that like Isaiah's day, we live in a very troubled time as this world is in great upheaval. We see that Isaiah here, he's encouraging, and throughout leading up to this text is encouraging God's people. And I was reminded just a moment ago how a short and powerful statement that Isaiah gives found in verse number 1 of chapter 40, where Isaiah says, comfort ye my people. I'm glad tonight as a child of God we can find comfort. In a time where it's dark, in a time where depravity is rampant and we see ungodliness on every hand, for the child of God we can find comfort. You know that word comfort, the English word comfort, it comes from two words that are put together, which means with strength. When Isaiah says be comforted, it's not a word of pity, but it is a word of power. When God comforts us, it doesn't weaken you and I, but it strengthens us. God's comfort, it enables us, it empowers us. And we find we can have, as a child of God, great comfort with His strength in Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse number 4, or chapter 40, of verse 31, Isaiah says this also, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I'm glad we can find comfort tonight. Do you have comfort? Isaiah, his name means salvation is of the Lord. And salvation, deliverance, and comfort, I believe you can say, is a main key theme to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, he was a courageous man, one that found comfort time and time again. When he was unafraid to denounce wicked kings. He was unwavering in public opinion when it was turned against him. He was unpopular like many of his contemporaries, but yet he was still strength. He found the comfort and he had the backbone that God desires all his children to have. Isaiah, I believe he was more than a prophet. He was more than a prophet speaking of one that was to come. He was a preacher of the gospel. He was the preacher of the good news of Jesus Christ. We find Isaiah here in chapter 52 and 53, a Masonic passage, a prophecy of Jesus Christ, the one to come. Isaiah, he's describing the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God. They tell me that Isaiah chapter 52 and 53 is quoted more frequently in the New Testament than any other Old Testament chapters. The last three verses of chapter 52, I believe we find, we just read that the gospel is being presented. The good news is being given. 700 years before Jesus Christ came, Isaiah, the man of God, he stood faithful to preach and proclaim the good news. He speaks of the Lord's suffering and His death. He speaks of His resurrection. He speaks of His ascension. And I see first of all, a great humiliation, a humiliation of this servant to come. Verse number 14, the Bible says, as many were stoned at thee, his visage was marred more than any man, his form more than the sons of men. They were astonished. They were many, numerous, multitudes of men. They were in awe. They were stunned. They were astonished. They were even appalled by this man's visage, by his sight, by his appearance of this one that was so bloodied and that was so battered, that was so disfigured and no longer even looks like a human. Let me suggest to you tonight that Jesus Christ, He took upon my punishment and your punishment. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was slapped upon, his beard plucked, he was bruised, he was tortured, he was scourged, humiliated beyond recognition, and many were astounded. We find that countless people through the ages have been tortured and died cruel, cruel deaths. They died in inhumane ways, in horrific ways, ways that is great tragic, but none of those deaths could ever stir our conscience. It stirs our sympathy. It stirs our pity. But no one like this man that Isaiah is speaking about can stir our very conscience. You see, his death was different than all the rest. Isaiah, the book tells us, the good book tells us that he was tortured and he was killed. He was sawn asunder. What a terrible, terrible way to die. But not like this man Jesus. We find that Peter, history tells us, was crucified, tortured, and hung upside down on the cross. What a terrible way to die. But not like this man Jesus. I was thinking this afternoon of William Tyndale, the one that gave us the William Tyndale Bible. He was faithful to translate God's Word. He died at the stake, being burned alive. A terrible, terrible way to die, but not like this one named Jesus. You see, his death was a vicarious death. It was a death, a vicarious atonement. He was humiliated for me and for you. He was tortured for me and for you. He was unrecognizable because of our transgressions. We find he was an innocent Savior. He was dying in the place of the guilty sinner. It was a substitutionary death. The humiliation of this servant. But also see the exaltation of the Savior. Verse 13, the Bible says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Multitudes, we read, did not admire him. They did not desire him. He was just a lowly servant dying a cruel criminal's death. Yet when it comes to the end and when it's all over, they were shocked. They were astonished. They were amazed. even the kings. For Paul tells us, Paul said it's a mystery. It's a hidden mystery. Paul said, for we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world had known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. This man Isaiah, the one he's preaching about, this one that suffered and died, this one that was humiliated, verse 13, we see he's going to be exalted and extolled. Not just a little. Not just for a short time. But forevermore. Jesus Christ, high and lifted up on the threat the right hand of the throne of God. He's going to be lifted and set up. He's going to be vaulted and exalted very high. The idea is to carry off, as you carry off the victor after the great battle. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. That's what He did for you and I. Look at verse 13. He said, my servant shall deal prudently. The phrase, deal prudently, has the idea to be successful in one's endeavors. Church, I'd like to submit to you tonight that Jesus Christ was successful. He came through. He did not fail. He fulfilled and He accomplished His Father's will. He's never failed. No, never. He's never failed. He was successful. He was victorious. He has conquered. He has won. I was thinking this afternoon in studying this, I believe his name was Gene Kranz. He was the flight director of the Apollo mission. And there before he told his flight crew, he made this statement. He said, men, failure is not an option. For this servant that Isaiah is speaking about, for our Savior Jesus Christ, failure has never, never been an option. It's not in his thoughts, it's not in his character, it's not in his persona. He was successful. Church, victory was won at Calvary. I bless his name tonight. He said, look at the personal statement in verse 13. He said, my servant shall deal prudently. He was successful in his endeavor. What looked like to men a humiliating death, in the eyes of the Lord, a great, glorious victory. Listen to what Paul says about it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19. After the humiliation, after the suffering, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Exalted. He was humiliated. But let me say, in such humiliation and in such exaltation, many men have been silenced. Gentile nations, verse 15. Bible says, so shall He sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at Him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. The peoples whose mouth dropped open at His humiliation and His exaltation will one day, because of their guilt, because they hear this proclamation, their mouths will be stopped. You say, what is this proclamation, preacher? I'll submit to you tonight, it is the gospel. The gospel would, has been, and is being preached to nation after nation after nation. In this gospel message, it's not that He was humiliated. It was not that He just died. But the gospel message is Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus didn't die because He was guilty, but rather you and I, we were guilty. We were found wanting. We were found lacking. And when our eyes, when we seen that through the conviction, and when our eyes were realized to that glorious mystery and that glorious truth, how that Jesus Christ died for our sins, how that He was buried, and how He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul says in Romans 3:19 that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. What about a king? What about a king that would bleed and die for me? Romans, the book of Romans, tells us there's none righteous. No, not one. It tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. It tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a grand and glorious proclamation. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe that report tonight? That Jesus Christ was humiliated, He suffered, He bled, He died for you, He was buried, and tonight, this very moment, He's exalted high at the throne of God. His humiliation, His death, His suffering, is it real to you? Jesus didn't stay dead. He didn't need a burial plot or burial chambers, just a tomb for 72 short hours. He's alive tonight evermore. He's on the throne, high and exalted and extolled. Do you believe that report? His proclamation. He did all that for you. He did all that for me. I hope you believe that tonight. The cross, the gospel. It's so simple, yet it's so confound. The cross, the gospel, it's so simple that the smallest of child tonight can believe and trust. But yet, I cannot stand here and explain to you everything about the cross. But it's clear to me, it's so clear to me that Jesus Christ, He took my place because of my sins. He died and paid a price to purchase my salvation. Have you believed that report? We can find comfort tonight, church, in knowing that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Do you believe that report? Here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1, Isaiah asks two questions. He says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Isaiah realizes this contrast. He realizes the contradictory, the mystery that he's proclaiming. That who would believe a lowly, poor servant, humiliated, suffered, mocked, shamed, is now the Savior of all mankind, that is now exalted on the throne. Who would believe that report? The nation of Israel didn't believe. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. He was despised and He was rejected of men. The religious crowd, the scribes, the Pharisees, the nation of Israel would reject Him. And Isaiah asked, "Who hath believed our report?" And now he asks the question, second question, "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" It's been revealed to you and I. It's been made known to you and I tonight. Psalms 8, that great creation psalm, tells us that Jesus Christ, our Savior, God, He made the universe with His fingers. He said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers." I was thinking this afternoon in Exodus chapter 13, when He delivered God's children out of Egypt from the bondage of Pharaoh and Egypt. He delivered them from His strong hand. But to save you and I, He had to bear His mighty arms to redeem me. Tonight, church, we are sheltered in the arms of God. The left arm, I was thinking, it's the arm of embrace. The left arm of God, the arm of comfort. The left arm of God, the arm of fondness that draws us to Himself, to His fellowship, to His heart, and to His bosom. The right arm of God, the defending arm, the powerful arm, the arm of judgment, arm of warfare, and the arm of protection. And God has revealed both of those arms, mighty arms, to you and I, to this church. Tonight, that was all introduction. I want to preach very, very, very quickly on the thought, sheltered in the arms of God. He asked the question, who hath believed our report? I wonder tonight, church, can people believe that report in your life? The people that you come in contact with, your friends and your family, your peers and your coworkers, the ones that look at your life and say they are saved, they've been redeemed, and they live a life of comfort and strength, sheltered in the arms of God. In 2023, more than any other time, we don't need more methods, we don't need more mechanics, we don't need more programs or more activities, but we need men, women, old, young alike, that their report tells a lost and dying world of the presence of the operating power and close fellowship in the arms of God. Never before, more than now, we need God's hand, the arm of God, evident in our lives. Who believes our report? We're saved. We've been redeemed. We've been saved by the good grace of God. We have the arm of God guiding us and directing us. But yet so many times we live in a way that shows unwavering faith and a lack of faith. The arm of the Lord's been revealed to us. I was thinking of Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, the Bible tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. May we attain a good report, a good record, a good testimony, a good conversation, good conduct. Hebrews chapter 11 goes on and tells us about men like Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and David, Samuel, and the Bible says many others. How did they obtain this good report? By faith. By comfort. The strength of God. May God strengthen our faith this week, church, in revival under the preaching of the Word of God. Are we going to have hardships? Oh, yes. Are we going to endure trying and discouraging times? We are. Are we going to face challenging and circumstances, challenging and problems? Everyone will. But I notice the text. In the context of the Messiah, His suffering, His agony, His pain, it seems like it's almost out of place. This one that's going to be humiliated and going to be scourged, and he's going to be in great agony and pain. He was beaten. He was marred beyond like any other. But yet he's going to be extolled and lifted up high. May I suggest to you, when it seems as we're going through these troubles and trials and these discouraging valleys, God's strength, God's arm, is revealed and expressed to those that are around us. His sacrifice, let me say, has been revealed. His arm has been revealed, and it should encourage you and I tonight. He delivered Israel with His strong hand. He flung the universe and the heavens with His fingers. Just imagine, church, what He can do with a small group of remnant of people with His mighty arms. Isaiah is encouraging. He wants God's people to find comfort in God. Assyria is attacking them. They've come against Judah and God's people. The enemy is at hand. Hezekiah, he stands to encourage God's children. The Hezekiah, the king of Judah, he gives them this statement. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. If you're saved tonight, Jesus Christ, he's already won the greatest battle over the greatest foe we have. We can take comfort knowing that we're safe and sheltered, our soul in the arms of God. He's already fought the battle for our salvation and won. He's fought the battle and salvation for our comfort. You can take comfort in Christ tonight, church. Sheltered in the arms of God. Let's stand. Sawyer, if you'll come and help me out on the pen, I'd appreciate that. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings and thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Most of all, salvation, Lord, for the agony and the humiliation, Lord, that you suffered on our behalf because of our sin, because of our iniquities. And Lord, I pray if there's one under the sound of my voice tonight that's never believed that and called upon your name, this would be the day, this would be the moment. They would turn their eyes to you, place their faith, and call upon your name. Lord, you may have some saints here tonight that are going through hardships. Lord, I pray they can find comfort, can find strength in your arms. God, you've been good to us. You've helped us, you've guided us, you've brought us safe thus far, and we thank you for that. But Lord, we don't know what lies ahead. Lord, I just pray as you guide and you lead, we can look to you in all things. We bless your name. We thank you, Lord. We can call upon your name in every situation and under every circumstance. Help us, Lord. We love you. Speak to your people. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This altar is open, church. Whatever your need is, maybe you just want to come and pray this week for revival. Maybe you want to come and pray for a friend, a family member, an acquaintance that's lost and undone, never been redeemed, that don't believe this report. May God would show them their ways. Give them one more chance to call upon Him before it's too late. We can find comfort in the arms of Jesus.